The last interview, in fact, for the week is with me now. She's Anne Hertzberg, legal advisor at NGO Monitor, and we're going to be talking about the sanctions which the EU Commission is proposing to put on Israel. Not just the sanctions, it goes much further than that. Anne, good afternoon, and thanks for chatting to me this afternoon.
Good afternoon. Great to be here.
So it looks like the EU is adopting a really very strong approach vis-a-vis Israel. They're talking about sanctions. They're talking about suspending free trade agreements. Were you surprised?
Well, I'm not surprised. We should be clear, though, that this is something that's being proposed by the European Commission. It has not yet been adopted by the EU member states, and most of the measures require a majority, like an absolute majority, if not every member state, to agree. So it's highly likely that many or even all of these measures will not pass. But I think it also highlights to the extremism that's present in the European Commission. They've for years have been very anti-Israel. Radicals in the commission, and they often do not share the views of the member states. And one of the reasons for that we found at NGO Monitor is that a lot of the bureaucrats at the commission rely heavily on anti-Israel NGOs for their policymaking. And so we've been finding with this agreement, a lot of groups connected to the PFLP and other BDS groups, other radical anti-Israel NGOs, have been pressuring the commission to adopt measures like this. So it's not surprising, although I will say, I think the rhetoric coming out from Ursula von der Leyen and Katja Kallas, who's the foreign minister for the EU, has been surprising to me, the extremism of it.
So they claim that this move is about pushing for a ceasefire and for allowing more humanitarian aid into Gaza. What's your take on that? Do you think that is the real motivation?
Well, if they really think that may be their motivation, but if that's the motivation, the policy is completely ridiculous, preposterous, and it's going to have the opposite effect, because what these European leaders cannot seem to understand, I don't know why it's so difficult for them, but they seem to have some kind of mental block about it, is that by doing these punitive measures solely on Israel, they are incentivizing Hamas. And why would Hamas, there cannot be a ceasefire without Hamas. Hamas is going to go, and the hostages need to be released. So the only way that is going to happen is either Hamas finally agrees to surrender or they are utterly defeated by the IDF. Those are the only ways it's going to happen. And what the EU is doing is putting pressure solely on Israel. So why on earth would Hamas do anything to change? Everything that policy coming out of Europe is helping them. There's no incentive for them to do anything differently. So the strategy makes absolutely no sense. And plus, it sends a very bad message to Russia, China, enemies of the West, Iran, because it just shows very weak resolve at the EU level. I don't understand it at all. I would love to have a one-on-one meeting with these people and have them try to explain it to me.
Didn't Ben-Gurion say that Israel had to fight short wars and that long wars were not its thing? Isn't that the big mistake here, that this just went on too long? That had this been over in 6 months, 8 months, 12 months, maybe there would have been a different Europe, but 2 years of being accosted by Al Jazeera visuals has just made it untenable for them.
I mean, I agree that the length has definitely been impacting it, but the problem is it's the hostages.
Yeah.
Because if we look at Hezbollah or Iran, why were those military campaigns successful and why did they end relatively quickly? It's because there are no hostages there. Even in southern Lebanon, where you had these tunnel networks, it was very easy to destroy them because you didn't have to worry about the hostages. That's the other factor that's happening in Gaza. And so these EU officials should be working nonstop to release the hostages.
No, I would agree with you on that. That's for sure. It is interesting, though, that Germany and Italy appear to be taking a softer line. They seem to be pushing back against the proposals. How do you explain that? Just Germany's historic relations with Israel for obvious reasons, or what?
Yeah, I mean, I think that has a lot to do with it. I think also, you know, we have to look in Europe. The dynamics depend on who's in power. So unfortunately, in most European countries right now, we have these left-wing governments. So where you don't have an extreme left-wing government, the policies are more favorable to Israel. But I think also Germany is being a little bit smarter, given that Trump is in power, because they know Trump does not favor this approach. And why make Trump angry about it? There's no point to doing that. It doesn't help Europe, especially because Europe needs America. And really what Europe needs to learn is they also need Israel. Because, you know, we saw just what I think it was this week or early or last week, you know, Russian drones in Poland, right? So who has the best air defenses right now in the world?
And who's come up with some laser, very inexpensive.
Right.
I mean, it's just remarkable technology that the Europeans must surely need and want.
You would think. And it's just, it's like, why are they cutting off their noses to spite their face? Is this, you know, anti-Israel lobby so strong in Europe, they can't stand up for their values and what's right? It really makes no sense.
And I'm a bit time poor today, so I'm going to thank you for your time and wish you Shana Tova. Thank you for your contribution over the past month. Really appreciate it. And talk to you after the Chag.
Likewise, Shana Tova.